Okay, today's the day. We're going to bust a myth, particularly the myth that says, starting a business means you're going to make six figures right away. If that were actually true, who wouldn't start their own thing? The problem, as Kristen Edens and I discussed today, is that there's often an unrealistic image portrayed by social media about what entrepreneurship is like. Both Chris and I shared a bit about our background, how we got started as business owners, and what it felt like for us. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, as they say, and it's definitely not for the faint of heart. If you feel the call to start your own thing, there are some great tips in this episode for you. And after listening, if you realize that content marketing or copywriting is something you need help with, reach out to Chris on LinkedIn or via her website at kristenedens.com. And as always, enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with Kristen Edens, writer, blogger, and content specialist. How are you today, Miss Chris?
I am doing dandy, Fritz. Thank you.
Thank you for being available. Well, we've had a conversation before. You're a former podcast guest, and we hit it off. I mean, we're not like complete strangers. We've known each other for like 3 years already, and she keeps putting up with me, so I guess she's made us some stern stuff here. But but today, you know, we were talking a little bit ago about we ought to have a follow-up conversation, because I think we either touched on a subject or we had a near miss on this idea that, oh, if you're a successful entrepreneur, you should have a six-figure income. And both Chris and I were like, you know, because I know just as many people that say, yeah, if you start business, don't expect to get paid for like three years ever. Yeah. Boy, when you start working for money, that's when the wheels fall off. And then I told her, I said, well, I'm already a six figure. I'm already making six figures. I mean, I count the decimal point and the cents. And I mean, yeah, as soon as you get your first 100, that's a six figure income right there.
And let me tell you, Fritz, the first time you presented that concept, I'm thinking, oh, hallelujah. Yay. I am a six figure entrepreneur. So with those extra two decimal points, I'm there.
There we go. Well, we're going to be thousandaires before too long, I'll tell you.
Yes.
So it is difficult to look at other business owners that are just like rolling in fat stacks of cash. And it's kind of like, wallet envy, you know, like what, like how, and then you look at your own business, or I look at my business and it's like, what am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? Yes. How come people aren't just throwing gold bullion at us to do, right? So let's talk about that. I mean, what is it like building a business? What is it like having to go through the, like, oh, there's not a ton of money coming in. Am I on the right path? Like, just have a conversation. What's it about? What's it like?
That is so, so more close to reality of entrepreneurship than the, I've got an idea, I'm going to start it tomorrow, and then at the end of the month, I'm going to have six figures. And I think that has been a lot of the draw for a lot of people, many people who a decade ago, because I was among them, that were out of work and looking for a job and fighting various isms. Sounds familiar, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And thought, okay, I am going to make a business out of something that I've always enjoyed, and I am going to make it into writing. And then I grabbed some books that are out there on the subject, written by six-figure copywriters, and thinking, if they could do it, I could too. Mm-hmm. And so I consumed those pages, and I adapted and adopted, and I got my website and my business license and my fictitious name registration. And the first thing, I wasn't making dollars right away. Mm-hmm. I was getting, what was it, Fritz? It was mail requests for Pittman Stamp Company or mm-hmm. or things like that. Now that you're a business owner, you're going to want to have your own mail shop so you don't have to go to the mail or get all of these stamps. And so all these crazy things started coming in and no clients. Mm-hmm. And then that was the first knock. It's like, oh, darn. Oh, what? And that's where you're going, okay, what am I doing wrong? And so entrepreneurship is a lot of, what am I doing wrong? How mm-hmm. come A over here is doing it and G over here is doing it, but old Chris, I can't do it. It's a hard process. And I think that is part of the time where you start to look, okay, where can I niche down? Where can I become more lean and operating at a really tight, unquestioning process that I know will attract more clients. And so you do whittle off the stuff you don't need and shave off the fat, I suppose you could say, mm-hmm. but it's still a process. It's yep. still, and my first year I made $684.
Yeah.
I was pretty excited, but so I guess if you add those two digits, let's see, 68,400, right?
Yeah. It'd be nice if in the first year, the decimal point would hop over to the right a little bit. It's like, yeah, get some more, woo-woo, right?
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. So, and then after that, it just, I've been tracking my expenses and then tracking my revenue, and it is very much a roller coaster. And it's not that I'm bad at what I do. It's not that I'm exceptional at what I do. It's not that the competition is so stiff. I think the competition is just as high now as it was 10 years ago, but mm-hmm. it's just the way it is. What about in your business, Fritz?
Oh, you know, I guess going back to the beginning, you know, it was pretty exciting getting ink pens that have Arch DevOps on it. I've still got some of them.
I'm like, stamp company. You've got the pens.
Yeah. Well, we're in different parts of the state. That's what they would send us. And it's like, oh boy, I'm a legit business. Oh. And it's free. They don't charge you anything for that. Now, if you want to get more of them, then yeah, you got to pay like 35 cents a pen. But I'm like, anybody got time for that? I've still got my same first ink pen that I ever got.
Yes.
But, you know, I kind of had a different, I think I came at it a different way, because when I started Arch DevOps 5 years ago, I didn't start it off with a mind of building a business. I was a solopreneur, and basically I was doing the same thing that I was doing as a contractor, as a full-time employee. I just had to go find my own clients. And so right off the bat, I was making quite a bit of money. I was already making six figures, but I was cheating because I was in the execution part. I wasn't in the entrepreneur, build a sustainable business that you can walk away from for a time mindset. I wasn't there. I didn't have a sales funnel. I didn't have any kind of word of mouth, no content strategy till I met you. I wasn't a marketer. I wasn't a salesperson. I was just a hardcore code slinging geek of geeks, right? Test automation, huge nerd. And, you know, after a while it's like, oh, you know, I had two clients back to back right when I started the company. And then the second client, unfortunately, they had to do some cutbacks, and they cut things out like the QA function, and they cut things like contractors. And it's like, oh, dang, I fit both boxes. Mm-hmm. So I got let go, and I was out of work for 4 months. And it's like, okay, well, now we're back at ground zero. And then that's the start of that roller coaster, spending more money than what you're making. Oh boy, that's scary.
Yes.
And after a while, it's like, okay, well, you know, you make money, you lose money, you make more money, it gives you a lot more runway, and then things happen just in the nick of time. So, I mean, it's still a roller coaster thing, but I feel like right now, with this recent partnership, I think I told you about Alex.
Mm-hmm.
With this recent partnership, it feels more like I'm starting an honest to God business, like from scratch. You know, we've got to get our name out there. It's not just Fritz, the test automation guy. It's Fritz, who's the face of this new company that does all kinds of other stuff. So we have to, you know, build credibility in different areas. But I hear what you're saying. It's like that. You know, if it had been like this when I first started, I probably would have been like, aha, entrepreneurship is not for the Fritz. This is not, I did not sign on for this. But all things being said, it's like things have gotten progressively more challenging as the months and years go by that I'm ready for this. This is what I'm
right.
ready for now. So,
right.
yeah. And it's not for the faint of heart. I think a lot of people, you know, we get online, we'll get on Instagram and we'll see these people that are just like, they're ballers, you know, they get on there, they got the fast cars, they got the cool clothes, they're like, you know, blowing their nose into handfuls of $100 bills or whatever. And it's like, and that is by no means the norm. Like if that were, everybody would start a business, and not everybody is starting a business. If it were easy, everyone would do it. You know,
but
why would you not?
See, I think that's the image that the few are making, and the many go, that can be me. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
And so another point that as you were telling your story that came to mind is there's this image as well that entrepreneurs, six-figure income, working a couple hours a week or a month. And I think that's something that is misleading to a lot of people as well, because I work a lot of hours. How mm-hmm. about you?
I work a lot of hours. I work a lot mm-hmm. of hours. Like my main, the bulk of my day is from the hours of 8 till about 3. And, you know, I try not to overwork because I come from a background of, let's work 60 hours in a salaried environment and just grind, grind, grind. And it's like, I got a lot of white hairs under this hat, Chris. I know you've seen them before when I've been over there. You're like, that's some white hairs there. But, you know, every once in a while, if I get a crazy streak or whatever, I'll be like, I'm going to work on some infrastructure stuff at night. But it's a lot of hours. And a lot of that goes into just marketing and sales and following up with people. And it's getting more repeatable now. Mm-hmm. I can see that, yeah, eventually you'll get to a point where you don't have to like mash your foot on the accelerator to keep things going. You can let off. And I'm not saying coast, but you'll have enough infrastructure there to take care of the stuff that you otherwise would have been like grind, grind, grind and trying to figure out from day mm-hmm. to day. And that comes with also building the kind of culture where people want to work with you and come alongside and help support you in some different things. So, but it's not like entrepreneurs can get to the point where, yeah, they have a 4-hour work week, but it is not right away. It is not as soon as you sign the LLC and become a business.
Oh,
it's like,
yes,
woohoo, right? I mean, let's start 5 or 6 businesses. All right. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even with that, you make a good point that once you sign that LLC, you're a one-man band. You're handling everything, mm-hmm. sales and marketing and payroll and the actual working on the business and in the business, and then the taxes and just every aspect of it. You've got to know, and you learn fast. It's mm-hmm. it's not a easy hill to climb. And then even if you can become that six-figure entrepreneur that works 4 hours a week, you need to outsource things. There's no way you
yes.
could just walk away from it. So that's another whole avenue about the reality of entrepreneurship.
Yep, that is true. And the mental image, the picture that I got when you said that is like, as soon as you become a business owner, it's almost like somebody just throws a bunch of things, objects at you, like bowling pins or chainsaws or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
Juggling balls. And then you're like, okay, I have to juggle all these things coming at me. And then, like, as it's in midair approaching, like, your face, you realize, oh, I don't know how to juggle. I never learned how to do that. And then it's like, blah, 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 blah. You just, yes. You kind of figure it out. Well, kind of going back to what you said before about, like, having people that you can hand things off to, right? And this is something that if I were to start another business, I would focus on, okay, who can I meet? What are different specialties that people have? And have that support group available to where, okay, well, people are coming to me with this, with needing work to do. So what parts can I just start handing off right away instead of, oh my goodness, I got to do all the stuff, huh? Right? It's like, get an accountant, get somebody that can take care of scheduling, get someone that can take care of, you know, copywriting. Well, not you, because that's your job, but like the non-fun stuff, the stuff that you hate, find the stuff that you hate doing and hand it off to people that just geek out about that sort of thing. And it ends up saving a lot of effort. And I almost wonder if it's because people who decide to start a business, it comes from, well, I just realized I might be stepping on your toes here. So if I am, I apologize. But people who start a business do so from a position of, I want to control my situation. I want to control my life. I want to control my career. And I'm going to do things my way. At least that's kind of how I felt when I started it. What was your mindset like? Was it similar or was it different?
When I started my business, I thought my mindset was, I am going to do what I've always wanted to do. It was going to be right. To write, W-R-I-T-E. Yep. And then I just launched into it. But then the deeper I got into this business ownership thing, the more I realized I'm juggling all those things. Mm-hmm. And I am not an accountant. I am not an IT expert. I am not a web developer. And so those were the big three I knew I needed right away. And for a short amount of time, I thought, okay, I'll just study it on my own. Mm-hmm. But then my hours a day just started accumulating. So I had to make room for the business side of things, but then I had to learn tax laws as a business owner, as an LLC, as a sole proprietorship. And then I had to learn about how to build a website. Oh my gosh. Nah. I you talk about gray hairs and wrinkles. Sorry, buddy. I got more. Yeah. and then you've got that awful, awful balance of time, money, and energy. Mm-hmm. And so I have the time, kind of. I don't really have a lot of money to hire out a accountant or whatever, especially the IT expert or the web developer. So you start looking through those things. And luckily, a decade ago, as it is now, there are more and more independent business owners, you, me, and every accountant, and not every, but you get the idea. And I could find them and find that they are very deeply attached to what they do for a living, mm-hmm. and their prices are very fair. And so we can connect with them. And then I found through the whole process that it's not going to take me a full-time accountant. And right. I could see that person a couple times a year and pay whatever I owe them. And then the web developer, now the web and the IT expert, those are people that really save me my sanity. Mm-hmm. So you just got to find those people and realize you're not going to be able to do everything, and realize it's a matter of time, energy, and tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you. And I've learned so much really from people like you, but in general, like just the fact that we do have time, money, and energy that we have to govern, and realizing, okay, when you've got an abundance of one, how can you use that to make up for a dearth of the rest? And Chris, I never thought about that until fairly recently, like within the last year or so. And wonder, I mean, I don't want to live my life in a shoulda, woulda, coulda mindset, but I almost wonder, I'm like, well, where would I be if I had learned that lesson a little bit earlier? So, yeah.
And that's very good. Entrepreneurship is filled with a lot of I should have, could have, and would have. And I should have started earlier. I could have if I had more money, or I would have. I've haunted myself a lot with that. What about you?
Plenty. But I also realize that that is a use of energy, which is a defined amount. I wake up every day, I've got this much energy. So when I catch myself thinking, why didn't I? It's like, okay, just, you know, it's not like you got to take the L, like it's a loss or something. It's just information. What are you going to do with the information? How are you going to apply it going forward? Don't look back. You know,
people
people live life like, oh, we're driving in a car, but we spend all of our time looking in the rearview mirror. It's like, look at the things in front of you. Like, look at the cars that you might bash into now, today, as opposed to looking at what's behind you. What are the mistakes you've made before?
And that's where that saying is fail fast comes from. And exactly. And something else is you mentioned that the shoulda, woulda, and couldas are they consume our times. We get into this wallow of boo-hoo, and we're not going anywhere. So I've had a lot of boo-hoo wallowing, and going back to what we said earlier is, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Why can't I do that? But don't let it drag you down too long, because you can wallow for hours, days, or weeks. And the longer you wallow, the lost opportunity there is.
Yep.
So that was that was a lesson I had to learn, as well as it's compare, don't compare. What's the saying? Compare and despair. There's a better, more to it, but the saying is don't compare and avoid despair. Something along that line. Yeah. But yeah, it's always when you're an entrepreneur, especially in, well, I was going to say, especially in my field, but it's in any field, yours, mine, graphic designing, whatever, beer testing, even in medical marijuana now, you're going to see somebody on the other side of the fence. Oh, he's making six figures. She's working 4 hours a week and she started this 6 weeks ago. What's wrong with me is you just can't compare and despair, because what I have found also is that everybody is trying to look better than they really are.
Yeah. Well, and we also only see like a little sliver of the person. Like we're more, you and I, we're more than just entrepreneurs, right? Like we have family, we have struggles, we have awesome hobbies that we do outside of work. And when people look at us and say, wow, I really admire Chris's ability to XYZ, or wow, she really seems successful. I mean, that's all tip of the iceberg stuff, if that's what they're looking at.
Yes.
Right. And they may admire some things, but taken on the whole, like we've got all kinds of wild and crazy things that are keeping us up at night, giving us heartburn, giving us gray hairs. And hey, yeah, if you want my life, okay, then you're going to take everything.
Yes.
You really want this? You want to live this thing? All right. But oh boy, you better hold on.
What's behind the scenes?
Yeah. It's like, what's behind door number three? It's probably a goat. well, I didn't realize how we got so involved in the conversation here, right?
Wow.
I got to take a short break here for a sponsor message, and then I guess we can have like two more minutes together before we got to bounce. Okay, so let's be back in just a little bit. Okay, and we're back, and we've only got like 3 minutes. We got to make this quick. Oh my goodness. No pressure. This is no pressure, Chris.
Right.
Easy going, but hurry up and answer the question.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so like for people that are thinking, okay, I want to start a business and I guess I thought that I was going to make a crap load of money and now maybe not so much. I mean, maybe we just dissuaded a bunch of people from starting a business, but like what can we say that might encourage them to go ahead and push forward anyway?
You know what? And as we went on with this podcast, I was wondering, what is the intent of us? And the intent is certainly not to discourage. The intent is just to help you be more really truly aware of the reality of entrepreneurship. It is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it is does take some money. And I've done a lot of bootstrapping, a lot. And pretty much, for instance, that $684 I meant went right back into the business. And you mentioned it earlier, is it takes a while before you can pay yourself. And that is very, very true. So just be aware that the reality is you'll spend more, you'll work more, and you'll learn more. But you'll also have more satisfaction than working for somebody else.
Yes, you will, if you're wired the right way. If you're, if you scare easily.
That's a good point.
This is not for you. God bless you, but just go find a job. But if you hear that clarion call, boys and girls, don't ignore it, but you know, come to folks like us. We can probably guide you on your way. Well, thank you for your time, Miss Chris. I really want to do something here that will help you maybe make more money without spending as much time or energy finding people. So for the folks at home, I don't know if you heard the last time that I had a chat with Chris, but she's an amazing copywriter and she's really good at content marketing, so much so that I've actually taken a course months ago through her. Do you remember that? I was your client.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, well,
you pass.
I pass, and I learned so much from her about, hey, I want to get my name and brand out there and get some awareness about what we're doing, and just my LinkedIn game has gone through the roof. People are like, oh my goodness, I see your content all the time. If you need help with writing, if you need help with any kind of getting your brand awareness out there, if you're trying to start a business yourself, it's probably a good move to get in touch with Chris. And how would people get in touch with you? You have a website, you said?
I do. It's kristenedens.com. And so that is kristenedens.com.
All right.
And through LinkedIn, just look me up, Kristen Reed Edens.
All right. Well, I hope that if you're listening, then if you are thinking about going ahead and pushing through and starting a business anyway, that it would be a good move to get with Chris. I'm sure she's got some tips for you. Well, again, thank you, Chris, for your time, and appreciate you being available as we wind down this season. You're like one of the last guests I'm going to have on the season picks up in January again. So,
all right.
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me, Fritz, and I love your podcast. You have so many great guests, and so definitely tune in, listeners.
Yes, please. I appreciate it. And every time I get a listen, I get like 1/10 of a penny in ad revenue.
There you go. 1/10. That's Woo! What, that's a little bit of that 6-figure income.
Yeah. I'm like, it's 5 or 2 figures right now.
Two figures.
So,
all right. Yeah. Hey, that's a climb up the 6-figure ladder.
It is. Every little baby step counts. Well, take care. I hope you have a good rest of the day. All right.
That's the plan. So all thank right. you, Fritz.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.